want to talk today about our duty. I want us to look at this today, our duty as Christians, not as a thing of shaking the finger and you got it, you know, an accusatory approach, more as a warning, more as an enlightening what Jesus wants from us. When I hear the word duty, I think of the military or something like that. You know, it's their duty. Could you imagine a military person not doing their duty? They get in trouble. Could you, you know, an employee, you don't do what's required of you, you can get reprimanded or fired or whatever. Imagine, you know, I'm glad policemen are doing their duty, keeping us safe. I'm glad paramedics, you know, that they have that attitude that when they're called upon, it's not a, well, when I get around to it. I'm glad that they're taking care of us right now and being the first responders, helping us. Let's look at the definition of duty. It's a noun. And it said it's a moral or legal obligation. An obligation, a responsibility, a task that's required, that somebody is required to perform. Even though it is a noun, it has action associated with it. Your duty is X thing. But to do that duty, it does take action. And I look at some of those words, obligation. It's an obligation that somebody has. It is a responsibility. And these are things that we shouldn't take lightly. And our scripture reading that Daryl read, and I appreciate that, was from Luke 17:10. It says, so, and this is Jesus talking. These are not kind of like we were talking about in Bible class this morning. These are not things that I think people should do. These are from the Word of God. And here we've got Jesus talking to his listeners, and he says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. You know, when we do all of those things, instead of blowing a bugle and saying, did everybody see that? God, did you see that? Did everybody see what I was doing? Instead of doing that, it kind of takes us down a notch a little bit. What are you excited about? You're only doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you didn't do it, then there would be call for alarm. But by doing what you were told to do, you're only obeying what God said. And we sometimes get that backwards a little bit. I want us to look at three different things. We're going to kind of separate them into different lessons. But one is one of our duties as a Christian is to grow and mature. Could you imagine if you never, and the sad thing is I've known people like this, they never mature past the 12-year-old stage. Nothing wrong with being 12 years old. Well, there is some. Sometimes there is some. Nothing wrong with being having a 12-year-old outlook, a 12-year-old behavior, 12-year-old actions if you're 12 years old. What about when you're 40? Still acting like a 12-year-old? Or pick any age. Is it still acceptable to act in second grade like you did back when you were in kindergarten? You don't do that, Gavin, do you? You know, act like you did back in kindergarten. You've grown. You're matured. You're in, what, second grade now? Wow. Time's going fast. Are we still stuck in where we were X many years ago? Or have we matured? And that's what one of the things that we should be doing is growing and maturing in Christ. Growing and maturing. Are we more mature than we were a year ago? Than 5 years ago? Will we be more mature in a year from now? Hopefully, yes. You know, are we more mature and have we grown in knowledge? That's the beginning. I mean, knowing the Word of God. Are we more knowledgeable? And if we have that knowledge, and we've been talking about this a little bit in the Sunday morning Bible class in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. What good is knowledge if you don't apply it? You can have all this knowledge, able to be spouting off scriptures. I would love to just be able to stand and just spout things off. I can't. I don't know that, you know. Can't do it. But what good is having knowledge if you don't apply it? It's worthless. In fact, it's not only worthless, it's you're going backwards because it's dangerous. Having the knowledge of God, knowing what to do, and then not doing it, that's dangerous for us. We've got to grow and mature with behavior. Let that knowledge affect us. Let that knowledge affect how we behave. And hopefully we are better. Dina, hopefully we're better Christians and more mature than when we were teenagers, huh? Hopefully. You know, not only more knowledge, but better behavior as we grow. But it's not just behavior. Not just what we do, the attitude in which we do it. If you don't have the right attitude with the behavior, you can just be going through the motions. Showed up, check. Took a piece of cracker, check. Sipped a little grape juice, check. Put a dollar in the collection plate, check. Sang a song, check. My mind wasn't on the song. My mind wasn't really here. But check, check, check. I did it. We've got to have that right attitude in to match the behavior. In Luke 2, verse 52, it gives a kind of a description of how Jesus grew. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that a good pattern for us? To increase in wisdom. To increase, well, obviously we all grow up. And in favor with not only by God, but in favor with man. To where God not only sees us, But our fellow man can see the changes in us. Our friends, our brothers and sisters that we worship with, they see a growth in us. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul is writing here, and you might even have memorized this. We use this scripture a lot. This kind of cycles around a few times here at South Valley. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world, which a lot of people do. A lot of people conform themselves to what's going on around them. They blend in. They're like a chameleon. They just take on whatever, you know, is around them. Christian tofu. You know, that just takes in whatever flavor is around them. Okay? They can blend with anything. But the alternative, he says, but be transformed. That's changed. To be changed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's that knowledge aspect. Growing in your mind. Having more knowledge of God's word. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there comes that behavior and attitude to where your actions, your attitude proves that you've been transformed, that you've been changed. In Matthew 5, one of the ways that, you know, it says Jesus showed favor in, you know, or grew in favor with God and man. We don't do things for man. We do it for God, but we should be able to show it to man. Our actions, our behavior, our attitudes, our growth should be able to be seen. Something observed. Jesus was talking here in Matthew 5, and starting in verse 14 says, he's telling people, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then here's kind of the command. So far, it's been an announcement. You're the light of the world. Now he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're not doing it for them, but for their benefit, that they can see, that we can be the example, that they can see and glorify your God in heaven. 2 Peter, I love this passage in 2 Peter. I love studying 1 and 2 Peter, the mature Peter. The mature Peter, which, you know, he wrote this about 30 years after the accounts of the Gospels. And we've talked a lot about Peter before, and we see the changes, that transformation Peter took. The growth in attitude, in knowledge. Granted, he had a little bit of help with the Holy Spirit, but that growth that he had, the attitude change, the behavior change. And this is what the Apostle Peter was able to write 30 years after his portrayal in the Gospels. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. He's not saying, okay, Christians, you're a Christian, you're good to go, stay where you're at, never change. He's explaining a growth process that goes here. He says, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Ouch. Stepping all over my own toes here. Scuffing up my own shoes. I need to get them shined now. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. The Apostle Peter is telling us we have to grow and mature. We see that he did. And he's urging us to do the same thing. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And remember, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that you will know them by their fruits. That people will be able to identify you by the fruit that you show. Now, I'm not real knowledgeable of looking at a fruit tree and knowing what it is, just the tree itself. Think I could recognize a peach tree because I had one. But when the fruit's on it, that's an easy one. I'm not going to look at an apple tree with apples all over it and mistake it for a banana tree. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. And we should be, man should be able to look at us, observe our behavior, our growth, our attitude, the knowledge that we may or may not have, and be able to identify us. And Paul is saying the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. See, you're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit sitting through my sermons every Sunday. You're just think of it as you're demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why does that self-control keep popping up on me? Self-control. And he says, against such there is no law. That if you've got these, you're demonstrating what being a Christian is. You are growing into this. It's our duty as a Christian to grow, to mature, not be the same person we were a year ago, but to be better, to always constantly striving to be better and to glorify God in the process, not only in knowledge, but in behavior and in attitude. Next week, I'd like for us to look at our duty in worship. And, you know, not only what we worship, but how, when, all of that. If you need to respond to the invitation is open 24/7. It's kind of like a 7-Eleven. You can always respond. I always remember a gentleman responded once to the invitation before the sermon. Comes forward and he said, Bruce, I need to be baptized. Didn't wait till after the sermon, during the quote invitation. I need to be baptized now. Let's do it. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you need prayers, if there are things in your life that you're struggling with that's a hindrance to you growing, that you're fighting every day, and you need help with that, let's pray with and for you. If you need to repent of sin, if there's sin in your life that's keeping you from growing, repent from sin right now. Don't wait. Repent, get rid of that, put that behind you. Turn and go on and keep growing. If you've been looking for a church home, if you've been visiting maybe different congregations of the Lord's Church throughout the valley and would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, let that request be known. We'll put you to work. We would love to have you. We would love to see you every week and work with you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known. We will address those as Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing, please.